Bahraini refugee Hakim Al Arabi faces an uncertain future after a Thai court extended his detention for 60 days. The football player was arrested after arriving at Bangkok airport for a holiday 2 weeks ago. He was detained at the request of the Bahrain government. The Australian government has been calling for the man's immediate release, but there are fears Thai officials will now use the extended detention period to prepare for his extradition. As he walked into court, Hakim Al Arabi begged not to be sent to Bahrain.
Please stop them.
What do you hope happens today?
I don't know. I don't want to box to Bahrain. I want to box Australia. I didn't do anything in Bahrain. I'm a refugee in Australia. I'm Australian, not Bahrain. I didn't do anything.
That's Hakim Al Arabi speaking in Bangkok yesterday on his way into court. Well, Syed Ahmed Al Wadai is Director of Advocacy at the Bahrain Institute for Rights and Democracy. He joins me on the line from London this morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hakim Al Arabi appeared in court in Thailand yesterday. His detention has been extended for another 60 days. There are concerns Thai officials will use that time to prepare their case to extradite him. Do you fear that is now what will happen?
I think it's an extremely legitimate fear that the fact is the court has granted the extradition to take place is in itself is an extremely concerning matter, because now it's just a matter of really awaiting for Bahrain response. Bahrain is now would be in a position to prepare its documentation, to prepare its file in order to send it to the court. And then it will be up to the court to examine whether there will be legitimate reasons for them to send Hakim back to Bahrain. I think today the most important part, when the judge asked Hakim today whether he wanted to be sent back to Bahrain, of course he stated he doesn't want that. But despite this, the judge moved on and ordered the 60 days detention. I think the good news for Hakim is that he has a pretty much solid case, that the case against him was a clear fabrication. We at the Bahrain Institute for Rights and Democracy obtained a full copy of his legal case. And I think it was pretty much compelling to see how the judge came up with his ruling. The only evidence he got against Hakim was actually a testimony by his brother. That testimony was taken under torture. And it was full of contradiction. The brother was saying, my brother was with me along 150 individuals, and we attempted to burn the police station. And he stated that it was around 6:30 p.m. Well, the public prosecution and the court concluded that the time of the alleged crime was at 8 p.m. So, and at 6:30 is the time when Hakim was already playing a football match broadcasted on Bahrain Sports TV. And that evidence, that video evidence, was given to the court. And in addition to this, like, the head of Hakim's club, Al-Shabaab, at that time wrote a letter to the public prosecutor saying to them that it's impossible for Hakim to be at the crime scene at that time, simply because he was with us, he was playing this football match, you can go and see this video recording, but he also, like, it's impossible for him to be there. So despite all of this, the judge did not really care about this evidence, and he argued that he doesn't really need to respond to every single argument. He simply stated that it's whenever the court is convinced that they have committed this, then he sentenced him. So it's only torture confession by his brother, which led him to 10 years imprisonment.
Since he has been in Australia, Hakim Al Arabi has been critical of the Bahraini regime. In particular, he was critical of leading figures in the royal family, particularly those involved in the international footballing community and their pursuit of high office. Do you think there is a sort of deliberate attempt from Bahrain's point of view to get a hold of Hakim Al Arabi because of those criticisms?
I think it's certainly this was the case. Hakim bravely spoke against Sheikh Salman, the head of the Asian Football Confederation, and he was the favorite candidate for FIFA presidency in 2016. It was Hakim's bravery which he spoke out about his own experience. He testified about the torture experience he going through. He spoke about if this person, and this is, I'm quoting what he said to the New York Times, like, if this person failed to protect me when I was tortured and imprisoned in Bahrain, why should he be the head of football or the one of the most important position in the entire world? So it was Hakim which spoke out about his own experience, and that it wasn't only that Sheikh Salman, because of Hakim and because of the international outcry, because of his role in the human rights abuses, Sheikh Salman was not able to win. And so this is, you know, how much this was frustrating the royal family. They have put so much efforts to lender their image in the international arena, and I think his courage really destroyed that possibility. So there is a thirst for revenge in that case.
Hakim Al-Arabi was detained at the airport in Thailand because there was an Interpol red notice next to his name, issued, as we understand it, upon Bahrain's request. Now, at the same time, refugees are supposed to be exempt from red notices. And there has also been this statement issued by the Thai authorities suggesting that they received the red notice alert from Interpol's Australian-based bureau, which is hosted by the Australian Federal Police. We put a series of pretty straightforward questions about this to the Australian Federal Police. They have not been forthcoming with a reply or any sort of clarification at this point. Do you know anything more about whether this notice, red notice alert, came from Interpol in Australia, based within the Australian Federal Police?
Well, that's something certainly I cannot say. The only thing I can point at is this is the Thais government story. And you rightly stated that the Australian were not able to comment further on this. But I wanted to say one important fact.
Do you want them to clarify their position
on this? It's crucial that they should clarify their position on this, because simply if they have played a role, the Interpol has a policy, and that policy, the red notice should not apply on anyone who got refugee status. That's full stop. That's a very clear policy within the Interpol. So if the Australian, like, despite their full knowledge, I mean, I obtained copies from Hakim's emails, which he was in contact with the Australian officials when he was in the process of his visa application to Bangkok, and he got the clearance. I get an email which says, this guy, you are clear, give them these details, and he forward those details to the Thai authorities. So there are certainly operations within the Australian security was 100% aware of Hakim's intention, and they gave him the clearance, and that clearance resulted in him being granted a tourist visa to Bangkok.
Can we just be clear because we're about to get to the news. You're in possession of documents, communications between Hakim and the Australian authorities giving him clearance to travel to Thailand.
Yes, I mean, I do have that document. All it says you have a clearance that you could present to the Bangkok, to the Thai consulate in Melbourne, and you should be able to travel. So that we have that confirmation, yes.
We will have to leave it there. We've got to get to the news at 7 o'clock. We appreciate your time this morning. Saeed Ahmed Al-Wadai is Director of Advocacy at the Bahrain Institute for Rights and Democracy. As I say, we have put questions to the Australian Federal Police. They have not answered them at this point.